John chapter 14 and verse number 21. Let's all stand in reverence and respect to the Word of God as we read from the Bible, John chapter 14 and one verse, verse number 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. I want to speak on the subject, living too close to the edge. Living too close to the edge. Before we pray, I'll tell you this little story I read this week. A little boy fell out of bed crying. His mother came and picked him up and said, "Honey, what's wrong? How did you fall out of bed?" And he said, "Well, I guess I went to sleep too close to where I got in." Cute, but a tremendous truth there. Sometimes as Christians, we struggle in our Christian life because we live on the edge of where we got saved and we don't grow into the nearness of our Lord. And as a result, many people fall in their Christian life, and many Christians quit following the Lord. They quit going to church, they quit reading their Bible, they quit praying. And you say, how could that happen? Because they live too close to the edge of where salvation and the world come together. So I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, living too close to the edge. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Teach us your truth. Help us to apply it to our lives. Draw us closer to you and a walk with you as a result of what we learn. And please, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you right now and I ask you to help me help your people. So speak to their hearts as I speak with my lips. And I ask that you would do the work that I cannot do and draw us to the place where we need to be closer to you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Many Christians get right to the edge of where they got saved. And that's it. We don't grow past that. But that's not it, according to the Word of God. It's just the beginning of a relationship that should last throughout all of eternity. Let's take a look at this verse again real closely. He that hath my commandments. Now, what is that? That's the Word of God. That's this right here. I have God's commandments. It's my Bible. And keepeth them. So, I have it. Then I need to keep it. He it is that loveth me. What, one that has the Word of God? No, one that has the Word of God and keepeth it. That shows that I love my Savior, Jesus Christ. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. So, when you show love to me, my Father is going to show love to you. And I will love him. If you, my Father loves you, I'm going to love you too. And will manifest. Manifest means to make known, to reveal myself to him. So, if we want Jesus to reveal more of himself to you and I, then not only do we need to know the Word of God, as far as the Bible is the Word of God, but we've got to know the Word of God. We've got to read it. We've got to hide it in our heart. We need to let it become a part of us. Because as we let it become a part of us, God reveals himself to you and I. So, if we took this same scripture, thought, and then went over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's do that. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. At the beginning of this is more like a Bible study than it is a preaching service. But I want you to look at this too, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse number 11, we're going to read a number of verses here, starting with verse number 11, and we're going to read through verse number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 through verse 15. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon that foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. So there's a difference between just getting in and getting saved. My salvation is for eternity. I can't lose my salvation, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So I'm not going to lose my heaven, but I sure can lose my rewards in heaven. My rewards in heaven aren't based upon the fact I'm saved. Getting to heaven is based upon the fact I'm saved. Now, my foundation is Jesus Christ. Now, I must take that foundation, and I've got to build upon that foundation. If we were to study the Scriptures even further, we would find that that wood, hay, and stubble are the works of the world. And they're going to, when the fire is applied to those, they're going to be destroyed. And some folks, all they're going to have when they get to heaven is nothing. They've worked hard in doing the things that apply to this earth only. They did not build upon their life the foundation of Jesus Christ. They didn't build it out of gold. They didn't build it out of precious stone. They didn't build it out of silver. Yeah, those will melt, but they'll stay. There'll be something left of them. The dross might be taken out of those, and but there's something left. But when we build our life too close to the edge, when we live our life just being saved and not a whole lot more, and we don't build upon that foundation, that's just wood, hay, and stubble. And that all gets destroyed. So if we take that and we compare that with, especially verse 15 with John chapter 14, verse 21, which we read, it teaches us the importance of living closer to Jesus Christ. I must live closer to Jesus Christ. As we prepare to celebrate Christmas and bring in a new year, we need to let the Lord bring us closer to Him in every aspect of our life, so as we embrace a new year, it could be a year that changes us spiritually. Every year, we ought to grow from where we were in January to where we end up in December. For many Christians, where they were in January is where they're at in December. And when the new January comes, we get excited and we want to do something, but by January 15th, we're back at the same place we were on December 1st, and we stay that way throughout the year. And in some cases, we back step even more. That's not what I want for you. That's not what God wants for you. God wants for you to take this year and to build upon this year, and take next year and build upon next year. God's not asking us to soar into the multitude and just, woohoo! But He's asking us to take another step. To get a little higher. To get a little closer. Because He wants to abide with you. Let's go back to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Let's go back there. And the disciples ask Him. Look at the end of the verse it says. Verse 21. And I will manifest myself to Him. The disciple asked Him. Judas said unto Him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that Thou wilt manifest Thyself unto us and not unto the world? How are You going to reveal Yourself more to us than to the world? Jesus answered and said unto Him, if a man love Me, he will keep My words, and My Father will love him, and we will come upon him, unto him, and make our abode with him. Abode means home, to dwell with. God's telling us a very important secret here in verse number 21. He's telling us we need to get the Word of God. Not only do we need to get the Word of God, we need to know the Word of God. We get to read the Word of God. We need to obey the Word of God. As we do that, we show Jesus that we love Him. As we show Jesus that we love Him, He draws closer to us. And the Father draws closer to us. And when the Father and the Son draw closer to us, they're going to reveal themselves, or they're going to move in with you. And when the Lord moves in with you, I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. I'm talking about when the Father and the Son decide to live with you, your life is different. But we've got to show Him that we want them to live with us. Living on the edge does not show that. Living on the edge between being saved and being worldly does not bring us to the place where God can do all the things He wants to do for us. So what can we learn? What can we draw from 1 Corinthians and John chapter 14 that to draw us closer? I'm going to give you four things. Number one, that true love to Jesus will produce obedience. True love to Jesus will produce obedience. True love to Jesus will produce obedience. In John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what he says. Same chapter, just a few verses earlier. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. In verse 21, he says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. So it's the same subject throughout this whole chapter. He's trying to tell us that our obedience to His Word shows our love. We have His commandments, we have His Word, we keep His Word, or we do what He says, and that shows Him that we love Him. You say, but someone can love the Lord and not do everything He says. You may show someone that you love them, but not make them their authority, make them your authority, but your actions tell them that you don't want to obey them. I think I said that right. I made that as clear as mud in a thick, thick mess. Let me try that again. You may say you love someone, but if you don't trust them as your authority, you don't really show them love. What do you mean? Your actions here speak louder than your words. Do you remember the story of the two sons in Matthew chapter 21? I'll read it for you. Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 31. It says this, but what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, son, go to work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he repented and he went. And he came to the second son and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether the twine did the will of the Father. And they said unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publican and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Okay, here's the story. Got two boys. He says to the first guy, hey, I want you to go work in the field for me today. And the kid said, I'm not going out there. And he was going to be disobedient, but he thought about it and he came back to his dad and said, I'll go do it. And he went. He was obedient. It doesn't say that he was joyful in his obedience. He was obedient. The other kid, he went to the other son and said, I want you to go out in the field and work today too. He said, okay, no problem. I'll go do that. And he never went. Now, which one showed their respect to the dad the most? The one that went to work. Which one showed that he was willing to put the dad as an authority in his life? The one that went to work. Which one is going to grow closer to the father? The one that lied to him or the one that followed in obedience? The one that followed in obedience. Why? Because our actions speak louder than our words in every aspect of our life when it comes to the Lord. There's many Christians that say, I love the Lord, I'm on my way to heaven, and they're saved. But they never go to church, they never read their Bible, and they never pray. And they're showing their disobedience. Then, there's Christians who are saved that go to church every time the doors are open. And they have a Bible and they read it once in a while, but that's all you get. And those Christians are just as disobedient as those who don't even go to church. Why? Because they have the Word of God, but they don't follow the Word of God and obey it. What does God want? He says in Revelation, chapter 1, chapter 1, I don't remember now what verse it is, but he said, I'd rather have you hot or cold, but you're lukewarm and I spew you out of your mouth. That means you're in between. Sometimes you're on, sometimes you're off. Sometimes you're on, sometimes you're off. Sometimes you're on, sometimes you're off. God says, that makes me sick. It makes me vomit. I'd rather either have you hot
on fire, doing the right thing, or cold and dead. Because I know where you stand then. But when you're in between, oh, you're this way one moment, and then this way the next moment, and then this way this moment, and then this way the next moment. God tells you and I that that's not the way you were supposed to live. Many Christians hear the Word of God and agree with it, but don't obey it. And God says, you're showing me that you don't love me. But when you obey the Word of God, you're showing in your obedience the depth of your love for Him. Number two. We're building here. Number two. Those that love Him will be loved of the Father. This shows the close union between the Father and the Son. In Matthew, when the disciples come to Jesus and say, Lord, teach us to pray. He said, okay. When you pray, say, Hail Mary, full of grace. That's not what it says, is it? It says, say, Dear Jesus. No. It says, when you pray, say, Our Father. When I talk in prayer to God, I need to talk to the Father. He's my daddy. Our Father, who art in heaven. I'm going to talk to the Father through the power of the Son. Because the Son is the one that gives me the relationship to the Father. So there's a close relationship between obedience to the Son and obedience to the Father. The Father can do more for me and do more for you as I go closer, as I grow closer to the Son. Let me illustrate in a human way, okay? I have a son. Let's use Samuel for a moment. Let's not use my son, let's use Samuel here as an example. Here's Samuel. And let's say that there's a child that mistreats Samuel. And makes fun of him and picks on him and trips him and treats him harshly. I'm positive that his parents aren't going to feel close to that child that's mistreating their son. Let's say that there's a person who says one thing to Samuel, but never lives by it. They always promise him something, but they never deliver. They're not going to feel real close to that guy either. But let's say that there's somebody that really gets along well with Samuel. And they're buddies. And they're pals. Jeremy's going to feel closer to that person than any of the other people I've mentioned. Why? Because he's treating his son right. And there's a relationship between the father and the son that's stronger than what folks would understand. And so when I see the Son and I do what Jesus tells me to do in His Word, for the Bible tells us that Jesus is the Word of God, that draws me closer to the Father and the Father closer to me. And that draws the love of the Father more to me. The Bible says, but God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But when we trample on the Son, He doesn't feel very comfortable about those who are trampling on Him. But when we follow His Son, obey His Son, love His Son, He draws closer to us. If I was a betting man, and I'm not, so I'll bet a quarter. But if I was a betting man, I would say that Jeremy would be willing to help that one child who spent their time with Samuel than the other ones. In fact, he'd probably chase the other ones off, which would be what a good daddy would do. And God wants us to draw closer to Jesus as our friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to call Him our Savior. What a privilege it is to call on Him in prayer. What a privilege it is to have a relationship with Him. What a privilege it is to have His Word. So as we go through this new year, we need to realize that the more we're in the Word of God, and the more we obey the Word of God, it matters not how young we are or how old we are, because there's no age limit set in any of this. God said it's all behavior oriented. When I put my behavior into obeying the Word of God, it shows Jesus I love Him. I trust Him. I trust Him. Number three. I said number one, true love to Jesus will produce obedience.
2, those that love him will be loved of the Father. 3, Jesus will also love them, giving evidence of that true strong union. And now we don't have just a union between the Father and the Son. We have a union between us, the Father and the Son. So Jesus will also love them. That's what he says. Let's look at the verse again. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him. What an amazing statement. I know he loves me, but he loves me even closer. The kingdom of God is one. His people, who are saved folk of every walk of life and of every nation, throughout, though they may be called by different names, are one. They are united to each other and to God in bounds of unity through Jesus Christ in His love. God wants to move you further into the knowledge of Himself, to know more about Him, so that we know we can depend upon Him and His strength and His Father's ability to deliver us, to strengthen us, to help us, to heal us, to encourage us, to lift us up, and to direct us in every aspect of our life. And we do that, it shows more than the status quo to life, that we're willing to trust Him. And then that develops a deeper relationship between the Father, the Son, and me. And that's what we want. I want the Father and the Son and the me. I want us to get along. I want us to get along well. I need the Father and I need the Son. And the only way for me to have that relationship is for me to be obedient to Him. So God wants me to get deeper into the understanding of what He is. Look again in verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if a man loveth me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will abode with him. So that's part of the end result, but not all the end result. That's part of the end result. So now, because of my obedience, I have the Father who's dwelling with me, the Son who's dwelling with me, the Holy Spirit that's dwelling with me. They're a part of my life. I'm a part of their life. They're helping me. They're guiding me. They're directing me. And that's where I become a profitable Christian. That's where victory comes to my life. I've moved from, okay, I was saved, and that's all I am, to now I've read His Word. Now I believe His Word. Now I have a personal relationship. I pray. I walk with God. I've become stronger. Look how far from the end I have moved myself. I'm moving myself closer and closer to heaven. And heaven's moving itself closer and closer to me. So now I have more of heaven on this earth, rather than living on the edge and experiencing the hell that this earth has to offer us. Did you ever stop to think that for someone who's on their way to hell, who does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, that this world is the best it's ever going to be for them in eternity? This is the best they're ever going to have it. Why do I want to live for the best someone else is going to have in hell? Why do I want to live on the edge of that? Why don't I want to get more of heaven in my life rather than be on the edge where hell has its best? I want to be where heaven has its best for me. So that brings us to 4. Jesus will reveal Himself to those who live close to Him. Jesus will reveal Himself to those that live close to Him. He says in verse 21, and I will love Him and will manifest myself unto Him. First, may I say, Jesus loves everyone. I want anyone to get the impression that Jesus doesn't love everyone, because He does. He's not teaching that He loves a select few. That's not what He's teaching. What He's teaching here is that He's closer when He's living with you than when we exclude Him from our life. The teaching is that the more we live in His Word, the more we obey His Word, the more He expresses our love to us, and we understand that. Illustration. I don't know how else to use this, but I have an illustration. A child who lives near to his parents and obeys what they say, follows them, trusts them, obeys them, gets more expressions of love than the child who is rebellious and hard-headed and disobedient. There's more of expressions. Now, the parent loves both the children. There is a love that every parent has for their child. I don't think you can deny that, though some people try. But those that do the right thing, who listen to what the parents have to say, who draw closer to the parents are naturally going to draw closer to the child that's an obedient child. The rebellious child's going to get attention. It's just not the attention he really wants. He's going to get the discipline, maybe the spanking, maybe the grounding, maybe the timeouts. He's going to get attention. The parents still love them. But the expressions of love that the child, that the parent can give to the obedient child, or disobedient child, versus the obedient child, are two different worlds. That obedient child is going to feel more love, more compassion, more understanding. Why? Because the parent's there with them all the time, and that they're willing to have a relationship with that parent. That includes adult life too. An adult child that loves their parent shows it to them by respecting them, listening to what they have to say, accepting them, instead of rejecting, oh, my parents don't know anything, they don't follow. A rebellious child, even in the adult life, still does not have a close relationship to the parents of an obedient child. Is it true? And so there's expressions of love that are given that some children are not going to get because they don't hear them when they're given anyway. You ever hear a child say, oh, my parents say they love me, but they don't really? That's rebellion speaking. And God says, as long as we live on this edge, we're living in a rebellious state. Because we're not growing closer to Him. We're not obeying Him. We're not following Him. And so He cannot do the things for us that He wants to do for us. You remember the story of the two boys that got their inheritance in the Bible? One boy said, I want my inheritance, I want it now. The daddy said, okay, and he gave it to him, and he gave it to both of them. And one stayed and worked with his dad and continued to develop that relationship, and the other boy went out. And he spent all of his living on, all of his money on wild living. And then he had nothing. And then he lived in the pig pen. And in the pig pen, he ate the food that pigs were eating. He came to himself and said, why am I doing this? If I go home, I'll at least get better food. So he goes home. And his dad says, woohoo, my son is back. And he throws a feast for him. And the son that stayed and was obedient says, why are you doing that for him? He said, well, he was lost and he's come back. And I'm rejoicing over that. He said, but you never threw me a party like that. So I didn't have to. You're with me every day. We share our love and companionship and friendship and dedication to each other every day. And I love that. Different relationships. I don't think that disobedient child ever had that relationship again. Because the Bible doesn't say that he did. Why? Because his disobedience caused him to have a wall between him and his father. The obedient child who stayed heard the I love yous every day. Heard the care every day. Had the concern every day. Walked with the dad every day. Had a closer relationship every day. And so when he needed something, it was automatically cared for. Yet the rebellious child was out when he needed something, was out in the pig pen, and he spent all that he had and he never got any more. Because he wanted it his way. And by the way, he got his way. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to realize that obedience is an expression to God that we trust Him. We love Him. I may not understand everything that's going on, but I don't have to. I love you. And if you tell me this is what's best for me, then that's what's best for me. And I'm going to trust you. I think there are people in this room who have a better relationship with one child than they have with another child in their home because of their relationship with the one child is one of disobedience. In fact, I don't think there's just one person here. I think all of us have that kind of relationship somewhere along the line with someone. Whether it be a friend, a brother, or a sister, or a mom, or a dad. Or we have relationships like that. We want to be close to somebody, but they just won't let us get closer. You ever have that? That's exactly what God's teaching us here. He wants to have a relationship, but it's up to you and me. It's up to us. He wants to do for us. He desires to do for us. He wants to provide for us. He wants to guide us. He wants to dwell with us. But it's up to us to let Him. And that comes from obedience. I don't want to live the rest of my days away from the Lord. I need Him. I need Him to be near me. I don't have the strength that I once had. I need Him for my strength. I don't have the energy I once had. I need Him for my energy. I need Him to be close to me. I don't need Him to be far away. I need to hear every expression of love that He wants to give towards me. I don't need to be so busy in the world living on the edge that I don't have time to hear what He's telling me. I need Him to help me overcome sin and temptation. And the only way to overcome sin and temptation is to move away from this edge and move over here. How do I get here? I get His Word. I read His Word. I then obey His Word. As I obey His Word, He says, "Oh, let me tell you how much I love you." And we hear those expressions. And then the Father comes over and says, "Hey, let me tell you how much I love you too." Because we're willing to hear. We have ears to hear. He that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We hear that all over the book of Revelation. He that hath ear, let him hear what God has for us. So we need to hear what God has for us. But I can't hear Him over here. It's too noisy. The world clamors for everything I have here. But when I move over here, the world gets quieter. It's still there. It's still making noise. It's still after me. But I got some help over here. I got the Father, and I got the Son. And sometimes I might take steps towards that edge, and they're able to help me move back to where I need to be. But if I live on that edge, I don't have any room to make a mistake. I'm going to plunge right into sin, and temptation is going to get a hold of me, and I'm going to be in a mess. And then I'm going to say, "Well, God, why'd you let this happen to me?" "Well, I didn't do it to you," He said. "You wouldn't let me help you. You never trusted me. I want to rescue you, but every time I try to help you, you get into a..." Oh, I forgot what the words are. Spiritual dilemma. What's the word I want to use? I have a moral dilemma. I don't know the difference between right and wrong, what this moral over here is, or what this moral... You get over here and you don't have to worry about that. You know what the morals are. Out there, we get all confused. I don't know how many days I have left on this earth. It could be 10 years. Could be 30 years. Could be 10 minutes. I don't know, and you don't know either. But I know this. I don't want to waste another minute of my life over by the world. I want to draw closer to over here. And I want to have a little heaven on this earth. I want the Father to dwell with me. I want the Son to dwell with me. I want to have them to help me. I need their power to overcome sin and temptation in my life. I don't want to have to go through moral dilemmas. I want to walk with God in the power of His might. And we just learn how to do that. Because He taught it to us out of John chapter 14, verse number 21. So let me read that to you, and we're done. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself unto him. I need him to reveal himself more and more to me every day as I go, and so do you. As we go towards this new year, that should be our goal in 2015, to have more of the Lord revealed to me than I had in 2014. I know that's my prayer, and I hope that is yours too. Father, thank you for what we've learned from your word. And Lord,